Never could get along with shoes, so he just stayed barefooted. And that's the way there's a lot of people in that area of the Philippines where we are at. In fact, the man that lived like that had a whole family of relatives about 6 or 8 miles away on the edge of town. It was in a rural area. It was all grown up in shrubs and trees. And he says, I want to take you and show you their where they live. And I was looking around for some huts, you know, or some little. I found one grass hut. And that's where he lived. And all of his kids, and they just slept out there underneath the trees. They didn't have it was tropical, tropical climate, but not even a home. And this is kind of being point blank, but he said to me, watch out where you walk, he says. The children don't use the bathroom. They had outhouses, but the children didn't use them. He says, look out where you walk. So we've seen some of the primitive areas in the world. We've been to Russia. We've been to preach on the street in Austria one time. Do you have some water for my dry throat? Oh, there, he's got men that'll help him. How about that? Did I get this thing back on there, right? Okay. How many Bibles in church tonight? I am a Bible preacher. Everything I preach about is in here. And that way I never get in trouble with the preacher. Because I know what he stands for. In fact, I think we knew you before you was even married, didn't we? Didn't we come visit you one time? He was at Chesterton? How about that? We know his dad and mom. Amen. Good stock. So you're turning out good. So we'll keep praying for you. I think you're going to make it. But anyway, the Word of God, the power of the Word of God is underestimated. How many believes in the Word of God? Wave at me. You're so convinced that the Word of God changes lives that you carry some with you all the time. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, that's the Word of God. And that changes lives. And if we really believe it changes lives, shouldn't we be enthusiastic to carry a portion? One of the fellows that visited the fellowship tract, thank you for the water. This will do for starters. It might make it all the way through. The rest of you got to wait till afterwards. We had some visitors from India. And he says, all the churches we go to, he's a missionary from India. He says, all the churches we go to, he says, they believe in tracts, but they don't carry them. They don't pay. Are they all that way in America? I says, well, I've been traveling for probably close to 50 years. The last 40 years I've been in independent Baptist churches. They believe in it. How many of you believe in a gospel tract, the Word of God? It changes lives. But he says, they don't practice it. Anyway, I preached about that last time I was here, but I'm just full of it all the time. I just can't get it out of my system that people's lives are changed because of the Word of God. And after I give you a few thoughts of the Fellowship Tract League and what they're doing, what we're doing, I got an outline here, believe it or not. The Lord gave it to me one day. It's just a simple one, and I'm going to go through that with you in a few minutes. But before I do, I just want to prove to you how effective the Word of God is. When I became the pastor of the Fellowship Baptist Church in 2007, the pastor passed away shortly after that. Anyway, we were in debt. The pastor had dementia and Alzheimer's and that kind of thing, so the church and the track league just kind of went downhill. And so when I took the pastor, the track league was in the red, $50,000. So it's a long story, but one of the men started praying for $100,000. I said, man, he's got faith. But would you believe, after about a month, a check for $100,000 came in. And we've never been in the red since. That was in 2007. And so today, as you heard earlier, that we have printed 5 billion gospel tracts. And now in 90 languages, shipping to 200 countries worldwide, all from that little church. And used to run about 300, but then, you know, what happens? Churches go up and down, and we had a high Sunday of 172 while I was there, but now it runs about 100. But still, the largest gospel tract ministry in the world is still in effect. But while I was there, when we were in debt that far, now I'm not one of these Pentecostal people that say, well, the Lord spoke to me, you know, so when the Lord speaks to me, I can write Bible. No, the Lord didn't speak to me that way. He speaks to us through the Word of God. And I was studying one day, and, you know, all things are possible. I was reading along those lines. All things are possible. And just like the Lord just impressed me, he says, get on the radio. And I had a friend that was on the radio, and his name is Paul Levine. Ever heard of Paul Levine? And then his Mark Smith was his replacement. And then now Brother McCurry is his replacement. But we talk back and forth. They're about half the size of what the Fellowship Tract League is, but doing the same thing, printing gospel tracts and shipping them all over the world. They do about, I think, 30 different languages. But anyway, I called Mark Smith, it was at that time. And he said, I really feel the Lord wants to go on the radio. I said, but that would be the second printing ministry that prints tracts on the radio. He said, that don't make any difference. You need to get on the radio. He really encouraged me. So we got on the radio in 2007, about the end of 2007, and it started with one station, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Today, we're on 40 stations from Florida to Washington State, and it's called the Fellowship Broadcast. If some of you want to keep that in your memory, Fellowship Broadcast is easy to remember, fellowshipbroadcast.com, and you can get archives of past broadcasts on the internet, fellowshipbroadcast.com. So I have to be home every at least once every month or 6 weeks, and we record ahead of time. Right now, I'm recorded through May the 24th, but I have to get home and go beyond that, and so we record. Anyway, I said all that to say this, that God has blessed the Fellowship Tract League because we honor his word. We put his word before everything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I need to share one thing with you before we go any further. While I was pastoring, I had a woman call me up. She introduced herself, who she was. And she said, I have a daughter named Rebecca, she says. And I want to tell you Rebecca's testimony. She's not able to come. But I want to come and testify at your church. Well, what do you do, Brother Furz, when somebody calls you up and says they want, a woman especially, wants to come testify in your church? So I asked her, and she told me about it, and I'm going to tell you what she said. She said, one of my favorite broadcasts on WSEB, Waverly, Ohio, that covers all the way from West Virginia all the way to, what's the bordering state, Indiana. And anyway, she said, I listen every day. She lived in East Dayton, Ohio. And she says, little did I know that my wayward daughter was listening in the living room. She says, she'd heard the broadcast before, but this particular day, you were reading one of your gospel tracts on the radio. And she says, when you finished, you told how there's an opportunity at the back of the tracts, even the one that we use. If you have decided to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior after reading this tract, please write and let us know. Well, she didn't have to read it. She heard me reading it. But she bowed her head in the other room and got saved. And she came walking in the kitchen, and her mother's telling me this on the phone. And tears coming down her face. And she said, Mama, you don't know this. She says, but I've been depressed. Well, yeah, sweetheart, I know you've been depressed. She says, but I was so depressed that today I was going to do myself in. I was going to commit suicide. But instead, I did what that fella said on the radio. I got on my knees and asked God to save me. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Whether you read the track or you hear somebody read the track or somebody reads it to you. But that particular day, she got saved. Hearing me read a track on the radio. Does the word of God work? Amen, it works. So that's just a sampling of the people. And she had called the Fellowship Tract League at different times. We didn't know it, who she was. But she was a troubled young lady. And this is what she had wrote. And Rebecca was her name. saved after hearing me read a track on the radio station. Dear Brother Bruce, I had to write and let you know what effect your ministry has on my life. Many times I heard your program, I guess from hearing from her mother, and I heard your program and thought what you said was stupid. I thought Christ was stupid. I laughed at your God, and by ignoring him, he wasn't really there. He wasn't really real. I claim to be a Satanist as well as a part of the Nazi movement. She's one bad gal. And she said, I thought Christians were nothing but lowlifers. And my friends and myself, we didn't need it. I didn't need your God. I sold my soul to the devil with my own blood. And after doing so, I read the small print. If I tried to get out of the group, I would be killed. But I remembered your church, and I called and talked to someone at the Fellowship Tract League. And then I heard your broadcast. My life was changed. And she goes on to say, if God could save the likes of me, he can save anybody. Right. And by the way, she's in heaven tonight as well. Her and her mother both died young. And a lot of times those that do hard drugs, like Steve Currington, if you remember him, you do hard drugs, it's awful hard on your body. But Jesus came and died on an old rugged cross to save the likes of us. And she deserved hell, but so do we. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we're grateful that we can share with you that God is still in the soul-saving business. And I've got another letter here. I might have time at the end of the service to give you that one as well. But we are a local church ministry that has a worldwide ministry. And it's local church. And so I just want to take a few minutes to just explain to you how we operate. We have 14,000 people on our mailing list. And many of them are independent fundamental Baptist churches across America. And so we need that large mailing list because it takes us $1 million every year to print 130 million tracts. We have 12 full-time employees. And you've seen the one guy, by the way, he's quite an employee because he can run both of them presses at one time. And it's amazing. But anyway, there are four of us on the road. I gave up the pastor to my associate. He wanted a pastor. I says, okay, I'm ready to let you have it. So when I turned 70, I'm giving away my age now. When I turned 70, he took it. So he was my associate for 6 years. Now he's been my pastor for 7 years. I gave away my age. But I don't look that old, saved right there. Anyway, when you have excess of money coming in and your mission conference or whenever it would be, why, we're just the same as all those missionaries on there. It's kind of like you've got two missionaries, but we always put the track league first. And God continues to pay the bills. And I want to say this. We are printing gospel tracts right now for the country of, my mind went blank, Pakistan. Ergo language? Urdu. Okay. Now, there's a pastor in Pakistan that he says, I don't think I'll get in trouble receiving these tracts because they still honor the word of God. But they're a Muslim country. And anyway, so he's going to receive the tracts and doesn't want anybody to know about it. We're not telling a whole lot of people about it. But we probably got over half of the container. That is, we got over 5 million tracts already printed. The rest of them will be finished by the second, it's always the first Sunday after Mother's Day. And then we load the container and send it out on that date. And in doing so, just to ship the container costs a lot of times about $8,000. You ready for this? I got a call on our way over here from Steve Rebert. Steve Rebert pastors the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Winchester, Virginia. I presented the work of the Fellowship Tract League there probably 6 or 8 years ago. And he says, You heard that preacher. He said, they need help. Pay for them tracks. He says, how much money we got in the building fund there? And the treasurer jumps up and says, $8,000. He says, how many would you like to send that for tracks? They voted unanimous. We're on the spot. And so I came home with a big fat check. So I said to the ladies in the office, can I keep my job? We'll keep traveling for the Fellowship Track League. But anyway, since that time, they have sent other checks to help. And that's how the Fellowship Track League operates. Some dude like Steve River just gives a big check every once in a while, every couple of years. Some do it monthly, but God's people help get the word of God all over the world. But anyway, he called me up. We were on our way over here. And he says, you don't know this, he says, but I had the COVID. No, I never heard. So I was in the hospital, what, 54 days? And anyway, he says, I recovered. And he says, Easter Sunday was my first Sunday back. And he says, I said to the people, we average, and it's a big church, they average every Sunday about $7,500 in their offerings. And he says, so I think it'd be good if we would send the Lord a love offering. And where would you like it to go to? Well, because he's for the Fellowship Track League, the people are, and they all voted unanimous. So he says, I want you to know that probably before you get back to Lebanon, Ohio, there'll be a check in the mail for $7,500. And then I told him that the freight for the shipping the container to Pakistan will be about $8,000. So he's just about to pay for all the freight to get it there. Anyway, I've still got to preach. Is that all right? Sit up straight. Put a smile on your face. You know, when you see people grumpy, you know, then you cut it a little bit shorter. But I could share with you this letter, and I've got a whole Bible full of them. But for sake of time, I'm going to give you a few thoughts. Because we live in a world that's upside down and crazy. And if it keeps going the way it is now, many of us preachers are preaching strongly about the end times. I had a preacher friend who they know, Ron Crank. He called me up just a few days ago. And he said, do you really think that this COVID thing is maybe ushering in the mark of the beast? And I said, I believe it's very, very possible. And anyway, as we travel, one of the struggles that we see is God's people living the abundant life. God's word says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief, and boy, he's all around us today. They're in Washington and the state houses. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But what's the next line? The next line is, but I am come. That's Jesus. But I am come that they, who's they? Those of us that have been born again, God's children, that they might have life and have it more abundantly, even with what's going on around us. So I'm going to give you a few thoughts the Lord gave me, and I wrote it down here a while back. And why we need revival. Number one, why we need revival? Because God's people, many of them have lost their joy. Oh, on the outside, they'll say, oh, yeah, I know God's in control. And many times it's a facade. They say, oh, yeah, God's in control. And yet deep down inside, you're wondering how this is all going to play out. And all of us do. We wonder how it's all going to. But, hey, if living the abundant life is a promise of the Lord, shouldn't we just live that abundant life? Now, my dad was a Gideon. He was saved. He didn't get saved until he was in his 60s. And anyway, I used to go knock on doors with him and go to the old folks' homes. And I can remember my dad talking to those people, are you born again? That's the way he said. Are you born again? You've got to be born again if you're going to go to heaven. And anyway, he liked that verse, John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I know I'm 90 years old. I guess I'm going to have to die one of these days, but I don't feel like it today. He did live till he was 93. And anyway, on his deathbed, he didn't know it was his deathbed, and we didn't know it either. But his heart was getting weak, and the doctor said, well, he could go tonight. So I just really felt like I could tell Dad. I said, the doctor says you probably could go tonight. Well, that's all right, son. I know where I'm going. Don't worry about it. And he rolled over, and I think within a few hours he was gone. But I didn't lose him. I know where he's at. I know we use that terminology. Well, you just lost your brother. I know where he's at as well. But I'm thankful for a dad. What a testimony he was to me in the latter years. He was in the earlier years of his life. But after he was saved, he says, that verse is for me just as well as it is you, he says. And I'm 90 years old, and I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to live that abundant life. And he did. And he was just a happy character. Everybody that knew him said they liked him. Even his daughter-in-law liked him. Anyway, so why we need revival? Because many Christians are rubbing their hands and they're concerned. Why we need revival? We live in a nation full of sin. When God's people lose their joy, we could go to the book of Philippians and probably spend a little time there. And for sake of time, I'm not going to preach that long. We should be done in about 5 or 6 minutes. Is that okay? Boy, that's kind of quiet. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we could go to the book of Philippians and we could hear about how the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to let circumstances rob me of joy. I'm not going to let being in jail or any of them things rob him of joy. Why? Because he knew the last chapter. He knew that Jesus had saved him. He saw the light. And if you and I have saw the light, we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. I mean, you meet people, and sometimes I had an injury 50 years ago. Once in a while, it bothers me. Right now, I'm doing pretty good. And they told me then, when you're in your 70s or 80s, you'll probably have arthritis. And they were right. And sometimes I get arthritis in there. But hey, when somebody asks me how I'm doing, that old arthritis is kicking up, you know what I say? Man, if I was doing any better, I'd be in heaven. And the devil, he's kind of telling me, oh, you're lying, you're lying. No, you know why I can say if I was doing any better, I'd be in heaven? Because God's word tells us that whatever state we're in, we can be content. The Apostle Paul was. Because, I mean, God's word says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. So they asked me how I'm doing. Man, any better, I'd be in heaven. I'm on my way. So tonight, if some of you have been in that position where, I wonder how all this is going to play out. Well, we can wonder about it, but don't get depressed about it, because that would be falling into the clutches of the devil. Somebody asks you how you're doing, and you look like the last rose of summer, they ain't going to want what you got.
That's right.
But if you got a bounce in your step, man, if I'm just having a wonderful time, and God's been so good to me. And when God's people lose their joy, when God's people lose their tears, you don't have to answer this just like you didn't have to answer that a while ago when I asked you how many carried the Word of God. There was enough conviction right there that maybe you'll fill your pockets up with tracts we leave. But when's the last time you bit in an altar and God broke your heart over a loved one that if he or she died tonight, they'd be in hell forever? And yet God's Word is so filled with a concern that would bring us to tears. How many could stand and quote Psalms 126, verse 6? Not everybody at once now. Yeah. Are you glad you come to church tonight? Get your Bibles out and look that up. Psalms 126, verse 6. And it's so true. Because I've met people that were so concerned. Are you listening? They were so concerned with their neighbor, old George, back years ago. He was so concerned with his neighbor lady. He was at the altar crying one morning. And I says, George, what's the trouble? So I'm concerned about Pat, my neighbor lady. He says, she dies, she's going to be in hell. He was literally crying over her soul. And that's what the scripture said. All of you looked at it now, you know what it says, right? He that goeth forth and weepeth. That's just nothing more than being genuine in your concern for a lost world around you. Why do I carry gospel tracts? Because the Lord reminds me every day, hey, I could pass it to somebody that their life's going to be changed. And then to have a concern like that. That's one thing I remember about your pastor. And I can't say this for all the pastors that I go knocking on doors with. or even spend time with. But that's one thing. Did I mention last time we was here? I maybe did. But we were going to see somebody. And he actually got so concerned that there was tears in his eyes. Because he really believed that that person was lost. And he really believed that if they died, they'd be in hell. And we prayed together that, I don't know if God ever saved that one, but I remember him being that concerned. Listen, we can be, if we walk with God, we get into that prayer closet every morning and ask God to fill us with the Spirit and ask God to give us a genuine burden and concern and compassion. How many of us pray for our country every day? How many of us pray for revival in America every day? How many of us pray that the abortions stop in our country every day? God's people must realize that we can change the course of Washington. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You know what the wicked ways are of many Christians? No prayer life. No burden over the lost. No shed tears. If we really got to that place where we was concerned, when God's people lose their tears, when God's people lose their love for the house of God, for a while it was about half the people that went to our church, when they lifted the 6 weeks we were off, and I'm thankful our preacher, along with a whole bunch of preachers that I know, said we're not closing again for nobody or nothing. But some of the people got so used to being home, it was just easy to watch on the computer. And didn't have to get dressed. And some of them never came back. They're not back yet. And that's sad. Are we real? What does it take for us to get out of the habit of being Christians that love God in church? So when God's people lose their joy, when God's people lose their tears, when God's people lose their love for the house of God, we need revival. When God's people aren't in the Word, I was in a church of about 300 people not long ago, and I said, how many of you read your Bible this morning? I didn't tell anybody to raise their hand, but about 10 people out of 300 raised their hand. They read their Bible this morning. Hey, if we're saved, God has so much for us in this book. Man, as a preacher, we wouldn't go very far without this, would we? And there's mornings where I say, don't bother me for 2 hours. And I got to preach, and I have to do a mission conference or a revival. I've got to spend some time in this book. Every answer, every heartache you've ever had, the answer's right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Love for the house of God, love for the word of God. I think there's a couple more. When God's people fail to recognize lost folks all around them. I preach about gospel tracts, and I preach that God's people ought to be so concerned that we carry them. I preached in Florida, I think it was a year ago in January. Jay Shepherd and I stood back there by his track rack, and he said, I've never seen this before since I've been pastoring. And that track rack was almost empty after I preached a sermon similar to this one. Why? Because they got under conviction, realizing that, hey, we have the world we live in because of dead Christians. Christians have not carried the ball. In fact, I wrote another message the other day along these lines. We dropped the ball. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There is a place somewhere below I've heard and read about. They say that people, when they go, can never come back out. A place of torment for lost souls who've turned the Lord away. They say the fire burns all night because there is no day. But I escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that place go. No, I don't have to worry since the Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If we were visiting out there by the fellowship tracting table back out there, and I ask you honestly and truly, can you say that you're on fire for God? What would have to be, and you don't have to, God, you can answer it to God right now, but what would have to be your answer to God? You're either on fire for God, or at best, you're lukewarm. And if we're lukewarm, that makes God sick to his stomach. So tonight, if God has used a few portions of the scripture we shared with you, and some thoughts how that God's people can live that abundant life if we'll give it all to God, then just obey the Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, I want you to take service from here.
If the Lord spoke to your heart, let's talk to him tonight. Why don't you get out of your seat and kneel before the Lord, talk to him. Maybe the Lord's laid somebody on your heart. Maybe there's somebody that you know that the Lord wants you to talk to and give a tract to. Let's just talk to him about what he spoke to us about tonight.